I invite you to remain standing with me this evening as we turn to our Psalter lesson from Psalm 103. If you're using a pew Bible, it is provided in the pew beneath you, and it's on page 502. Psalm 103, page 502 in your pew Bible. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Please bow and ask the Lord for his help. Our gracious Heavenly Father, even though we know that the sun is setting and the light of this day is soon to be no more, we know that there is a greater light in your word that continues to shine forth. And so, Father, we ask as we look to examine your word, would you illumine our hearts and our minds? Would you make your word a light unto our path so that we would not only be hearers of your word, but doers as well? We pray all of these things in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever heard a group of elementary school musicians practice or tune their instruments? All right, let's make it a little bit less personal. Have you ever heard an adult tune their instrument or practice? Or maybe like me, yes, like me, you were in choir and you had to warm up and you walk into the room and you hear all of these different noises. Can we be honest? It's a little chaotic and maybe even a little terrible. It's not an indication of your musical talent. But what do they need? What is it that brings that together? A conductor. See, musicians need a purpose, and they need lines of sheet music that make what would otherwise be a random group of discordant sounds and brings them together to form what we call music. In the same way, the Psalms organize and put into music the various notes and keys of the human soul. But they also give us the sheet music in which we need to praise the Lord. Psalm 103 begins and ends with a very simple imperative. Bless the Lord. See that? Bless the Lord. But this raises an important question, doesn't it? How are we to bless the Lord? You ever think about that? How are we to praise the Lord? What are we to say exactly? How do we actually make these notes sing? The Psalms are not a random assortment of songs and prayers. Rather, they move us through the story of God's redemptive work. Psalm 103 is towards the latter half, the closing portion of book 4 of the Psalms, leading into book 5. And book 5 of the Psalter ends with the crescendo of praise in Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's where we're going. It's where the Psalms lead us. Book 5 of the Psalter shows us a worship service. And if it is a worship service, then we need a hymn book. If book 5 of the Psalms is a worship service, then all of the books and all of the prayers leading up to it show forth the theology and the orientation of that worship for God's people. This is precisely what David gives us in Psalm 103. Between the opening and closing brackets of blessing God's name are the grounds and the purpose of that worship. David's great song of praise is not simply a script for what to say. Psalm 103 is not a simple list of facts about God, but instead, David takes the command to bless the Lord and he fills it with color. He takes the command to bless the Lord and he gives us a three-dimensional view of God's mercy and his great dominion. And in light of all of these things, we have no other choice. There is no other option. There is no other appropriate response but to bless the Lord, O my soul. The attributes of God crescendo us into praise. And this evening, we're going to examine our text in two parts. First, bless the Lord for his mercy. And second, bless the Lord for his dominion. David directs our eyes to God's works. See this in verse 3. The Lord forgives your iniquity. He redeems your life from the pit in verse 4. He crowns you with his love and mercy, and he satisfies you, and he strengthens his people in verses 4 through 5. But David quickly shifts to focusing on what God has done for the church at large. He cares for the oppressed in verse 6. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us for our iniquities in verse 10. And David isn't basing this on his own authority. You see in verse 8 that he's making these claims grounded in the nature and the character of God. The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, because he is merciful and he is gracious. He does not keep his anger against his people forever, because he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. David is able to say these things because he recognizes that God is good. God is good. When Scripture names or begins to describe something about God, your ears should perk up. Especially if it's in the context of a promise or a reminder of God's faithfulness, because these descriptions, these attributes, serve as grounds for confidence in believing that promise. When you hear something, when you read something about God, pay attention. Because it's not just there for fun. It's usually to ground the promise or give you encouragement for the reminder of his faithfulness that you're about to read. And this is what David is doing in our text. In verses 3 through 5, David uses five participles to describe God: forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, and satisfies. God can be described by participles because it is the way, it is Scripture's way of saying, you are the kind of God that does X. This is the kind of God that you are. In other words, we can say that our God is the one who forgives. He's the kind of God who heals and he redeems. And David's description of God reaches its peak as he draws us back to a famous passage from the Old Testament. In verses 7 through 8, David draws us back to Exodus 32. You remember that in Exodus 32, the Israelites violate the covenant with the Lord by making a golden calf and declaring it to be the gods that brought them out of Egypt. Moses intercedes, and then in Exodus 33, the Lord commands the people to go to the promised land, to go to the promised land that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go there, but here's the catch. God's not going with you. He says, I'm not going with them because they are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy them on the way. And it's in this context that Moses continues to intercede and he asks the Lord to show Moses his glory in Exodus 32, 12 through 18. And in Exodus 33, 19, God responds and says, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. Moses is about to see God's goodness proclaimed before him. And on Mount Sinai, as Moses is placed in the cleft of the rock, the Lord's glory passes by and he declares the words that we read in Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. From the first bite of the forbidden fruit in Eden to the golden calf to David's transgressions to the wilderness wandering to the new covenant, God has shown his mercy to his people. He has shown us mercy as a father has compassion and love shown to his children. And the love of God is not indiscriminate. It's not indiscriminate. As one commentator notes, he loves those who fear him. We see that in verse 11 and 13, as well as Romans 8. He will forgive those and have compassion on them and treat them as children, those who fear him. But remember what God said to Moses back in Exodus 33. I will make all of my goodness pass before you. Brothers and sisters, what we see here fundamentally in God's mercy is a manifestation of his goodness. His goodness that overflows in steadfast love. He is described as the God who forgives, the kind of God who heals, who redeems, and crowns, and yet he is merciful and he is gracious to his people. So why do we sing? Why do we come back here in beautiful 80-degree weather when we can be doing anything else in the world this evening? Why do we come back here to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as David exhorts the church in verse 2. Look again at verse 2. We do it so that we will not forget all his benefits. And as you sing to one another and as you proclaim to the Lord, you're reminding yourselves and your brothers and sisters of all of his benefits. You have been crowned with the steadfast love of God the Father Almighty through Jesus Christ, his Son. And our only response, the only appropriate response, is to bless his name. There is no other response but to praise him. As the Shorter Catechism reminds us, we never graduate and we never go beyond the simple call to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You never graduate. And this isn't some blind, optimistic song of praise. David acknowledges the sin. He acknowledges the sickness. He acknowledges the pit of despair. He acknowledges those who are oppressed. And yet, even there, the Lord remembers his people. Even there, he pours out his love upon them in Christ Jesus. Do you remember Fanny Crosby's hymn, Blessed Assurance? Professor Glodo reminded me of this hymn this week. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. My friends, the worship that we sing, the prayers that we offer are to the tune of our salvation. And brothers and sisters, I know that there are times when you're filled to bursting and you can sing these songs with overwhelming joy and delight. And I know there are times when you sing these same words with broken hearts and they barely rise to the level of a whisper. And yet we praise him. We praise him. Take heart, beloved. We change. We are fickle. We are dust. We are weak. We are weary. Our circumstances change, and not always for the better. Can I get an amen? But the Lord's steadfast love is immovable. His mercy never changes. It is always the same. His love and his mercy are as great as he is infinite, and he pours out that love for you. And this brings us to our next point. Once again, David draws our attention to who God is. And in verse 19, we're directed to stand in awe of God's dominion. He has established his throne in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. Theologians of old have understood texts like Psalm 103, 19 to describe God's dominion, or what we might call his moral power. Stick with me for a second, okay? We often think of God's power in terms of his omnipotence or the fact that he can do all that he wills, and that's true, and that's good. But what many have rightly recognized is that it's not just God's ability to do that which he pleases, but his right to do that which he pleases. In other words, we're saying what Psalm 115 says, our God is in the heavens and he does what he pleases. It's not just that he has all power or ability, it's that he has all authority to do what he wills. His authority is grounded in his perfections. He is perfectly wise and knows how best to rule his kingdom. He is perfectly righteous and he rules his kingdom with perfect justice. And he orders all things in accordance with his wisdom and glory and power to their appropriate ends. And he does so for their good and for his glory. He does so because he has the authority to do so. Here's the glorious truth, brothers and sisters. The God who is merciful and gracious, the God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, is the King who has established his thrones in the heavens. And this is not a contrast. These are not contradictory truths to his mercy. His dominion magnifies his mercy on your behalf. You see that? 17th century theologian Stephen Charnock quotes, he says this about God's dominion. His grandeur hinders not his clemency. He looks down upon his meanest servants from the height of his glory. Since his majesty is infinite, his mercy must be as great as his majesty. That is your God. He has established the throne in the heavens. He does all that he pleases, and he pleases to pour out his love upon you. He is pleased to show you mercy for those who fear him. So great is God's majesty, so great is his dominion. Did you notice the end of the psalm? The only response is for angels to praise his name. God's glory is insufficiently praised by David's prayer alone. And so it beckons all of creation to bless him. It is this holistic praise of God as Redeemer and Creator, as Savior and King, that ties this psalm with Psalm 104. Psalm 103 and Psalm 104 are bracketed with the phrase, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." These psalms together magnify God's name as Savior and Creator, Father and Sustainer. He is utterly merciful, and he is Almighty God. That is who our God is. And that's what we see in Psalm 103 paired with Psalm 104. As Derek Kidner once said, in the galaxy of the Psalter, these psalms, Psalm 103 and Psalm 104, in the galaxy of the Psalter, are twin stars of the first magnitude. Brothers and sisters, these stars shine and act as beaming celestial lights that guide us back to the glorious truth that our God reigns for us in the risen King, Jesus Christ. God's mercy and his rule break forth in the work of Christ. Christ, who, as the author of Hebrews says, is the high priest, the one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. That is our King. God's authority is not just fun theological stuff. It's great comfort, brothers and sisters. Think about this. If God were merciful and slow to anger, it would not be good news alone, because if he did not have dominion, on what grounds could we have assurance of our salvation? If he did not have the authority, on what grounds? Think of it a different way. Imagine a prisoner on death row, and a prison guard comes to him and says, "You're pardoned. You're free to go." What's that inmate going to say? "You don't have the authority to do that." But imagine that same prisoner is there, and that same guard comes and says, "The President of the United States has pardoned you. The Governor of Florida has pardoned you. The office of the president, the office of the governor has the authority to do such a thing." This is what we see in our psalm, and this is what we have in the gospel, dear friends. The one who is merciful, the one who removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, is the Lord of heaven and earth, who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." He has the authority to do so. He has the absolute authority to pardon all those who fear him, all those who love the Son, Jesus Christ. And you can do nothing to earn this mercy because it comes from an authority that you and I can't even fathom. I mean, do you get that? Like, there is a very rare but distinct possibility that I could be a governor. Don't laugh too hard. There's a sense in which that's real. His throne is established in the heavens, and all of creation bows down before him, ready to do his bidding and his will. That is your God. That is your king. You cannot earn it. Oh, because his throne is untouchable. We sing and we bless the Lord alongside these angels, and we sing alongside the mighty works of the great, out of the great mercy that he has shown us. Think of the picture. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far your transgressions have been removed. What can you possibly give to repay our God for what he has done? Cry out to him. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 50? Cry out to him and offer up your sacrifice of thanksgiving. The author of Hebrews, offer up to God your sacrifices of praise. It will never match the kindness he has shown you in his Son. You can never outpraise God's infinite goodness and mercy, but praising him is his desire for us. Even our praising of his name is used by him for our good. How great is our God that he demands of us praise, and he uses that praise for our good. Not because he needs it, but for your benefit. That is how great our God is. As Augustine said, the gift he enjoys from you is not anything that can add to his happiness, but one that will lead you to him. It is for your good. This is why his dominion is cause for blessing his name. As we are led by this psalm, as we are led by the totality of the psalms toward the end goal of praising him, all that has breath must praise the Lord. And our psalm is a declaration of God's perfection manifested in his divine kingdom over us. This is what his glorious grace demands. Worship him. Praise him, O you, his saints, as we just sung. Praise him for his grace and favor to his people in distress. Praise him still the same as ever, slow to chide and swift to bless. Alleluia, alleluia, glorious in his faithfulness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you, for you are good. We thank you that you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Though we are dust, you have shown compassion to us, your children. Help us to praise you and to bless your name. And as we do, lead us more and more to yourself. We ask this knowing that all of heaven and earth stand ready to do your will. In Christ's name, amen.